Welcome to the Health Ranger Report on Brighteon.tv. Today we have a fascinating video interview with Professor Michelle Chosudovsky from the Center for Research on Globalization. The website is globalresearch.ca. He's out of Canada. He's an economics professor with the University of Ottawa, and he knows a lot about nuclear war. He knows a lot about geopolitics, global finance, and also the fraud of the plandemic and the fraud of PCR testing and how the world has been subjected to a psychological operation to try to get people to agree to be injected with a depopulation bioweapon that is designed to exterminate billions of people across the planet. So coming up, Professor Chosudovsky and myself, we talk about these things in an uncensored format right here on Brighteon.tv. So stay with us. We'll be right back with that full interview straight ahead. If you don't want to eat GMOs and pesticides in your storable food, choose organic, lab-tested storable food solutions from the Health Ranger store. We are the only emergency food manufacturer in the world that subjects each of our ingredients to rigorous laboratory testing that covers herbicides, heavy metals, aflatoxins, identity testing, and bacteria tests, including E. coli, salmonella, yeast, and mold. At healthrangerstore.com, you'll find certified organic, lab-tested, freeze-dried fruits, microalgae superfoods, protein powders, and supplements. We offer emergency first aid colloidal silver products made with Texas rainwater, and our Ranger buckets feature an impressive assortment of organic storable food items professionally vacuum sealed in heavy-duty bags that are stacked in rugged buckets for long-term storage. Check out our preparedness foods, supplements, personal care, and emergency first aid products at healthrangerstore.com.
Hey everyone, it's Maria Z. I'm here at the Brighteon Studios, and I want to say I am so excited to become part of this network. You'll be seeing my show very, very soon. Free speech is so important in these days and becoming uncensorable, and this is the platform for it. I'll be seeing you soon.
Welcome to today's interview on Brighteon.com. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon, and today we're joined by a first-time guest here, an extraordinary individual, a voice of truth and courage in our world. His name is Professor Michelle Chosudovsky, and he is a professor of economics emeritus at the University of Ottawa, and he also runs globalresearch.ca, which is an extraordinary resource for geopolitical, economic, and public health analysis around the world. He joins us today for what I think will be an intriguing, in-depth discussion of world events. Welcome, Professor. It's an honor to have you join us today, sir.
Well, I'm delighted to be on the program. I must say that this morning I read your, well, I viewed the statement that you made on the dangers of World War III pertaining to a false flag, which was to be conducted in the context of these war games in the Black Sea. And I think that this is, of course, historical in your understanding and how you compared it to Pearl Harbor. And I think that is, I think, is the topic of discussion today. It's the statement that you made and the significance of that statement. And of course, ultimately, our objective is to undermine any kind of World War III perspective.
Absolutely. You have put out many warnings over the years about the consequences of nuclear war. And I've seen some videos based on your research, for example, and it's absolutely devastating. You know, human civilization cannot function in the aftermath of a nuclear exchange among first world nations here, or superpowers, I should say. And yet, I believe, and you are free to agree or disagree, but I believe we find ourselves now in a situation where the U.S. empire in particular is run by insane lunatics who do not consider the consequences of nuclear war, who do not understand history, do not understand geopolitics, and they have a kind of arrogance and a bully tactics point of view that makes them dangerous because they do not understand the limits of their own power. And that's the context from which I made that statement, if that makes sense. Does any of that resonate with what you're thinking?
Well, it certainly does, because I think the problem is that the decision makers, they're not necessarily specialists in nuclear war. They believe their own propaganda. And that's fundamental. And in fact, decision makers are really the victims of propaganda. And at the same time, they create propaganda. But I recall when I started working on nuclear weapons, I've been doing research on nuclear weapons for more than 20 years. But what struck me was this Nuclear Posture Review under the Bush administration, which was published actually, was published in 2002. But really what it entailed is that public opinion was led to believe that nuclear weapons, particularly the so-called mini nukes, were harmless to the surrounding civilian population because the explosion is underground. And consequently, they are safe for civilians. That I'm wow. Almost quoting the Pentagon documents there. In other words, what the irony is, it's a little bit like a pack of cigarettes and you say smoking is good for your health.
Right. Now,
that's what they did. They changed the label. They said, this bomb is good for your health. Go ahead and use it. And that was entrenched in the 2001 Nuclear Posture Review. And at the same time, it recategorized nuclear weapons so that the nuclear weapons could be used in the conventional war theater, and they did not require the permission of the commander-in-chief. It could be a three-star general. Now, that, I think, is the beginning of this whole process.
And that puts us in very dangerous waters. And just for the audience to get up to speed, what you are referring to, my Black Sea warning, that was a podcast that I did that warned that the naval exercises that are currently being conducted in Operation Sea Breeze 23 in the Black Sea, they could be used as a cover story to plant a nuclear weapon or to detonate a nuclear weapon in the same way that, of course, the Balt Ops, the Baltic Sea operations were used as a cover story to plant the explosives that blew up the Nord Stream pipeline, which was a civilian infrastructure target that has devastated the industrial economies of Germany and other Western European nations. So it's not like this is a wild theory. This is something that the U.S. has done before, and I'm very concerned that they may do it again. Do you? Apparently, you share some of my concern, at least in that area.
Well, absolutely, because I would say that the greatest threat of nuclear war doesn't come from the Russians. Okay, they still believe in mutually assured destruction, and they have a defensive deployment of nuclear weapons. The United States, first of all, the United States has invested in a $1.3 trillion nuclear weapons program, which in effect goes into the pockets of the military industrial complex. But it also points to the fact that nuclear weapons are on the table. They're not something which are there as a weapon of last resort. And then there's also this belief that they can actually win a nuclear war.
The
nuclear war is winnable. So that in a sense, what you reviewed as the possible false flag, comparing it, let's say, to Pearl Harbor. Well, Pearl Harbor was the destruction of U.S. Navy, which was in the port of Pearl Harbor, And that was used as a pretext to ultimately to wage war on Japan.
That's right.
And what you are saying essentially is that an incident in the Black Sea resulting from this exercise and deployment of military hardware could lead to a false flag, which would then trigger World War III. And I think your understanding is absolutely impeccable. And it has to be, we have to analyze that and we have to refute, we have to reveal it. But there's a whole history behind that. And now I think you mentioned, of course you mentioned Victoria Nuland in your interview. And Victoria Nuland is, when she says fuck the EU, she really means it.
Yes.
She means it because she also said it's a war on the European Union. There's no question about it. This is a war on the European Union because it is coupled with devastating economic measures, which are literally destabilizing the economies of major powers, including, of course, Germany and France and the United Kingdom already with Brexit. But there we are. And at the same time, the leaders of the European Union are complicit. In fact, they're completely subordinate to Washington. Now the chancellor, the German chancellor, was supportive of the action on Nord Stream.
Yes.
Despite the fact that this was devastating as far as the German economy is concerned.
Well, you mentioned some really critical points here. Victoria Nuland in particular, I believe, in my opinion, she is one of the most dangerous figures in the history of the United States of America. And she is clearly has ethnic hatred toward people of Russian ethnicity or descent. And she seeks the total destruction of an entire ethnic group, which is the kind of mindset that we saw before, obviously, with the Nazis and the Third Reich. And it's astonishing to me that her obvious hatred is allowed to run amok across U.S. foreign policy. And it's this kind of thing that leads me to believe that out of sheer desperation to destroy Russia, that the United States is willing to set off a nuclear weapon against its own naval vessels if necessary, in a Pearl Harbor-like incident, like you were mentioning, in order to gain public support for full engagement with Russia in World War III, which would be absolutely devastating for our planet. And so much of this comes down to one deranged woman, in my opinion, who has a history of her grandfather with Russia and so on, and she wants to take it out on an entire nation. This is a very dangerous thing to allow to have influence over our foreign policy.
Well, I think that Victoria Nuland is an instrument of their powerful entities behind her, which stay in the shadows. I think you're absolutely right, but it's not necessarily by removing Victoria Nuland that things are going to change from one day to the next.
Good point.
It's actually going to help because the discourse is such. But Victoria Nuland is in Africa. She's all over the place, and as far as regime change is concerned. But I think the history of the Ukraine war is absolutely fundamental because I recall, and I've written on that, that Stoltenberg, the Secretary General, of NATO. In other words, he made a statement a few months back saying very textually the war started in 2014. Now, when he made that statement, he didn't realize most probably didn't realize the implications, because everybody says it's the Russians that started it, you know,
right.
in 2022, in February 2022. But then he said, no, it didn't start. It's there. He said very clearly, and it's on record. It was an interview with the Washington Post. It started, he says, the war didn't start in 2022. It started in 2014. Now that is obviously a statement which has devastating implications from a legal point of view and so on and so forth. And then, of course, when you start to look at the history of that war starting in 2014, Victoria Nuland was there, associated very closely with the two Nazi parties, the right sector, and Svoboda, and also complicit in the atrocities which were committed during the Maidan, so-called Euro Maidan. I followed through on that, and she has links with Nazis all over the place, you know, and so one has to label things at the one has to understand that there is a neo-Nazi agenda which is embedded in U.S. foreign policy. And when I look at the project of the New American Century, it has a certain doctrine behind it. When they say we are going to wage a long war. They use the term the long war, and we will wage a whole series of theater wars. That's the statement at the beginning. And we will also modernize our weapons system and so on. But the thing is, those wars are simultaneous. That's also something which we find in the, of course, Nuland must have been also involved, because her husband was, Kagan was one of the authors of this project of the New American Century. But when they say, they don't say consecutive wars, they say simultaneous. And that defines the situation we are in today. In other words, they're threatening China, they're threatening Russia, they're threatening Iran, and they're obviously also threatening the European Union.
And they're sanctioning 100 other nations.
Exactly.
As well.
The thing is that it is an act of global warfare.
Yes.
And the question is, are they in a position to do these, to undertake these operations simultaneously in China on the one hand, and in Eastern Europe on the other?
Well, clearly no. I mean, clearly the U.S. economic situation, the industrial, our industry is not a shadow of what it was post-World War II, right? So, and we don't have a willing labor pool in the United States, and we're funding everything with a money printing machine that's out of control and is devaluing the dollar rapidly, of course, while other nations are looking at their own, you know, clearing currencies, BRICS nations and so on. But you're hinting at something here that's a point that you have written and spoken about a lot. I want to ask you, the phrase is peaceful coexistence. And why is it, do you think, that the United States in particular does not believe in the peaceful coexistence or even the existence of other nations that are sovereign nations? The U.S. believes that it must install puppet governments, that it must wage color revolutions, assassinations, economic warfare, sanctions, kinetic warfare, invasions, occupations, military bases, whatever it takes to control every other country in the world. Is that not the mindset of a dangerous global bully?
Well, it certainly is. And I I've been looking at World War III scenarios for quite some time. Some of them are declassified. And one which is very, very important, it's always four countries which are targeted in a World War III scenario. Actually, when they create names for the in these scenarios, which are run by the Pentagon or by some think tank associated with the Pentagon, like RAND. But there's one which is quite revealing, and it's very detailed, and it is there are four powers, four countries: Shuria, China, Rubik, Russia, Nemesis, North Korea, and Birmingham, Iran. Those are the four countries, okay? It may sound ridiculous, but they have it all programmed, and those are the targets. And it is always those four countries which are considered to be the object of simultaneous targeting, okay? Which is that, I mean, there may be other countries around the world, but those are the countries that they consider as a threat, so-called threat to U.S. National security. So that kind of ideology has been there, and I think it's been there even before Victoria Nuland became active in politics. It goes back to the 90s or to the mid-90s. And there's always a sequence of military operations. We saw that in regards to the Middle East.
Absolutely. But Desert Storm, yeah. And Libya taking out Gaddafi and Saddam Hussein and so on. Yeah, I mean it was all part of the same thing. This doctrine of, you know, you either become a puppet state of the U.S. or we will destroy you and assassinate your leader. And let us not forget, I know you know this, Professor, but just reminding our audience, you know, the U.S. intelligence community fabricated the existence of weapons of mass destruction to justify waging an illegal war against Iraq. It was completely fabricated. And yet the U.S. never faces consequences for its international crimes committed against other sovereign nations. Never consequences.
Well, I mean, you know, the propaganda ploy is there, but it's also the fact that you have people who claim to be progressive and who support U.S.-led wars. You have Professor Falk, Richard Falk at Princeton. He's a member of the Council of Foreign Relations, and not a couple of weeks after the war in Afghanistan was launched on the 7th of October, 2001, he said, this is a just war, okay?
Right.
It's a just war. And it was published. And then it became a label, okay? First of all, people didn't want to recognize the 9/11 truth. People on the left denied it, and they, of course, then they believed ultimately that Osama bin Laden was a terrorist and leading a war against the United States, etc., with a refusal to even enter into any kind of discussion. Now, I think many of us have covered that the 9/11 attacks. And I think what is revealing is the Taliban government said, if you want to extradite Osama bin Laden, we're prepared to send him off to the United States. And that was made through diplomatic channels twice. It was never revealed. Okay. They said, yeah, here he is. If you give us, we'll enter into negotiations on his extradition. And they did it on two occasions. Now, everybody should know that's where the whole thing went into high gear is when on the 12th of September, the Atlantic Council invoked Article 5 of the Washington Treaty, which is collective defense, and saying we've been attacked by a foreign power. They don't mention who the foreign power was, but there were no Afghani planes in the skies of New York that particular day. But they pegged Afghanistan as a foreign power which had attacked America. Now, that, of course, that's absolutely nonsensical, whatever one's interpretation of 9/11. It was a terrorist attack, and it wasn't, and there was no proof that the foreign government was behind it.
Thank you for watching today. Again, Mike Adams here, the founder of Brighteon.com. Take care, everybody.